Question. Who here keeps a height chart of the kids? Maybe it's a loose height chart, a paper one that gets pulled out on special occasions like birthday. Maybe it's simply just a freestanding thing. Hey, maybe it's the door frame. But you know what I'm talking about, right? That wall that has the notches that show growth of people, of the kids. I feel like it's a little bit of a cultural thing. I don't know if everyone does it. But do you keep one? In the movies, if you're shown a picture of a door frame with the notches, it's to show you that there's been growth in that place, that people have spent time, have invested energy, and things have grown and developed. For us, we have we had this old bookcase. It was a little bit like a Meccano set, like you could just change it every which way and what. But one of those panels has all the kids' height on it. And for me, it's not really a birthday. It's not complete until the measurement has been taken, right? The measurement has been taken, and we can turn to them and say, wow, look how much you have grown in the past year. Or we can compare them to each other. Wait, no, parents aren't meant to do that, are they? But we measure growth. But do we measure the other growths in our lives? What achievements have you achieved this year? Those accomplishments that took time and energy. What about the simple achievement of getting through another day during an incredibly difficult time? Do we mark those the same way? Or what about relationships? Have your relationships grown? Are your friends more friendlier? Is your family more unified? Have you marked those achievements this year? But what I really want to get to is I want to get to this question of, if we were to take your height today of your spiritual growth, would it measure more than it did last year? Did your relationship with God grow this year? Were you kinder to other people? Have you spent time cultivating growth of the fruit of the Spirit? Do you love more? Have you more joy? Do you exude peace? Have we increased in our patience, shown kindness towards others? Have we increased in our goodness? Have we been more faithful? Have we increased in our gentleness? Do we have more self-control? Are we growing more into the image of Christ in our world? Or have we shrunk? Over the past 12 months, have you spiritually shrunk? Do you look more like the image of the world than the image of Christ? I often wonder if we, as a church, as people of faith, get the whole point of the Jesus thing wrong. Yep, the ticket, the passenger ticket, allows us great access. But the whole Jesus thing isn't about simply getting into heaven and avoiding the bad place. I wonder if Jesus was here today, if he came back, would he still recognize us as his followers, or have we become something different? See, our faith needs to be more about simply saving ourselves from an eternity of pain and punishment. That's a simple byproduct of our relationship with God. Do you know Matthew and Luke's gospel? both say this. Both find Jesus saying these words. That if we're really interested in saving ourselves, that in the end, we will lose everything. But if we lose ourselves in God, for God, then we will truly live. Theologians come and take those points and they say, well, this needs to be our job then. We need to go about living ourselves more for God. We need to be more about His kingdom now. When Jesus teaches His disciples to pray, He says this, Father, Your will in heaven, no, Your will on earth as it is in heaven. Your will on earth as it is in heaven. Our job as people of faith is to bring God's rule to our world now. It's part of the Great Commission. So I'll ask you again, did your relationship with God grow this year? Or better yet, will it grow in 2020? I think in this Philippians passage, Paul gives us some things to think about for the new year. After all, this is the last sermon for 2019. In this Philippians passage, I think there is this hint and this discussion of how we can develop our relationship with God. It starts here. It starts in verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forget what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Do you see it here? Paul, writing to the Philippians. Paul, the example of faith, says, I haven't yet considered myself to have taken hold of it fully, but I keep striving towards it. Paul, like if we were to do a rank of really spiritual people, right? We would have Jesus at the top. Nobody beats Jesus. And then Paul would be second. And Paul's going, he hasn't got it all. He wanted more of God. He wanted more of that relationship. Do we have that same desire? Or do we go, I've made my prayer, I'm good, I'm done. But he goes on. He goes on to say this idea here is that if we're going to push on to God, we need to forget what is behind us. If you want to grow in your relationship with God, then we need to forget the things of our past. And most especially, the bad things. The failures that we ourselves have done or the failures that others have done to us. We need to let go of the hurts. The times when we've sinned, when we've done wrong by God. The times that we've been done wrong by others. We need to confess it. We need to forget it and we need to move on. We need to forget the disappointments. And most importantly, we've got to move on from our previous stupid decisions. One of the things that always gives me a chuckle is this idea, you know, don't hold on to a stupid decision because you spent a lot of time making it. Let go of it. You might have seen the images of the person who's holding on to the past so tightly. It's like a rope around their hand and you can see it's actually gripping their skin super tight. And when they let go, there is healing brought. My friends, so often we get caught up in thinking about our hurts and our disappointments, that we start to live in those moments. We start to see the world through those glasses. Paul encourages us to let them go. But I think it goes further. I think he also encourages us to leave behind the blessings and achievements that we've experienced. I'm not suggesting that we forget about them. I think his point is this, that we cannot live on past glories. If we are growing, if we are developing, then by nature we must be moving. We must be at a different point in our journey than we were 12 months ago. Do you know what? I think we achieved some great things this year. We've been talking about it a lot because it's the end of the year, the Christmas Spectacular. We talked about how we gave out 200 craft packs, which invited children and adults to think about God. We gave out candy canes by the bagful. We have distorted the selling numbers of retailers in town. We had conversations, and it was a great moment for us as a church. But we can't live there. We have to move on. We have to be better. We have to do more. We have to do more better. I got excited the other day. We had a Brook Kid leaders meeting. At the beginning of this year, we started a teen study group, right? It was a big step forward for us. Next year, they've convinced me that we need to start a crèche group as well. See, what I was excited about, the leaders weren't happy with the three groups. No, we have a new generation that we need to reach. We have a new group that we need to interact with. Let's start a fourth group. At this meeting, they're like, you know what, we're not happy with four groups. We want a fifth group. Now I'm pulling out my hair. Where am I going to put all these groups? What excited me was they could have sat there in the back and said, oh yeah, we've done so well. We started a teen group this year. Woo, let's take next year off. No, they're looking for ways to be better. They're not living in the glory of something that they've achieved. They've gone, let's be better. Let's not be happy where we are. Let us keep moving forward. Let us bring the kingdom of God here and now. That's what Paul says in verse 14. Let us press towards the mark, the finish line, and the end of the race. So how do you achieve such things? How do we achieve spiritual growth? Well, it starts with an understanding. You are not alone. You are part of a group. See, it's by talking to each other and encouraging each other that you start to see the blessings that God has given us. We walk as a group. A group who has set its mind to walk closer with God. The passage on the screen, Colossians 2:6-7, Paul writes this, so then, just as you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthening in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. The passage comes from Paul, who feels encouragement because of the growth he has seen in the church in Colossus. In Corinthians 10:13, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. But when we see each other growing and spurring and wrestling with God, I feel encouraged to continue my own journey. See, this is all about one idea, and that is the kingdom of God. And this is what we as a church seriously need. No, let me rephrase that. It's what we as a church hold to be our highest value, going in one direction as followers of God in our lives, as promoters of the gospel, and taking the Great Commission seriously. Then we need to understand that we are citizens of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, that's what we're all about. Look at it this way. If you go into the city, you'll find Chinatown. What do you find in Chinatown? Everything Chinese. It's like you've taken a trip to China without hopping on a plane. You go to other parts of the city and you'll find different cultural enclaves. For all intents and purposes, it feels like you have stepped in to that country, right in the middle of Sydney. Imagine that. Imagine if we became a mini enclave for the kingdom of God. Hey, there's something about those people in Muswellbrook, those ones that go to Brookside. It's like they're foreigners. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Why? Because it's an outward expression of an inward reality, that we're about the kingdom of God, that we want to see it grow and develop. The kingdom of God, we're encouraged to stand firm and hold on to our relationship with God and valuing it above all other things. The kingdom of God, where we give ourselves fully over to the work of the Lord. Because we know that the laboring in God is not in vain. 2020 is coming. Is it going to be a year where you're going to grow in relationship with God? Or are you going to be like this joke? Do you know what the most popular day to go to the gym is? January 1st. Do you know when the least popular day to go to the gym is? January 2nd to December 31st. See, we start well. We set our mind to the task and we go at it all guns blazing. People are great starters, but we fail to continue to run at the gym and in life. We lose focus. We get distracted. And you know what? I think we need to plan for those events. If you want to be serious in growing in your relationship with God, then you need to set yourself out and go ahead full steam. But when you get distracted, when you lose track, when you go, oh, I haven't opened my Bible for a time, that's the time to open your Bible. You notice it, I've messed up, you get back on track. You may not know this by looking at me, but I used to go to the gym a lot. There was one day where I went, you know, I'm too tired today. And then you know what happened the next day? Oh, I'm still too tired. And I haven't been back for a couple of years. Measuring my growth is measuring around. But what I should have done is when I've noticed, oh, I haven't been to the gym for a while,
is gone. Today's the day I go back. The best time to change and to work is the time right then when you notice. Let's be honest. Sometimes we mess up, but we need to get back on track.
We've got to understand that we will get discouraged, that we will get distracted, but if you want to grow in your relationship with God, don't quit trying. So what's 2020 going to look like for you? See, this year, I know, for some of us, it's been a hard year. 365 days of one struggle after another. Others of us have felt like we have been blessed beyond measure. If you've had a hard year or if you have felt blessed, 2020 is a year to recommit to God and to each other. 2019 is all but done. So let us forget what is behind and focus on what is ahead. Let us end this year by confessing our wrongs and moving into the new year dedicated to walking closer to God. To grow our faith. To seek Him out. To live lives that focus on bringing the kingdom of God here and now. Let us pray. Father, we want to give you thanks, Lord, that you constantly call us back to you. Lord, we give you thanks that we have the ability to turn from our ways and turn towards you. Lord, we thank you that while in Christ we have the passenger ticket, we pray, Lord, that we might make the journey and make the journey well. Regardless, Lord, of turbulence or smooth skies, regardless of rough seas or calm waters, help us. Help us grow in our love for you. And we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.